Christine, I am so more than thrilled, more than excited. I don't even know how to find the words, emocionadísima. I can say that in Spanish, that you are here. And I got to say that the way things happened and how we came together for me specifically is a message that comes from above. I have your book. It's right here. It's in Spanish because there's also a Spanish edition of the book also in English. It's called The Warning, El Aviso. And my mom gave me this book because when I was little, like around, I don't know, 9, 10, 11, I had certain dreams that would come to me and I would wake up saying to my mom, "Mom, in our lifetime, we're going to live this and this and this." It was a very powerful experience that I lived, specifically in a time in which I was very close to one of my aunts who prays the rosary every day. So she was living with us and she started saying to me, "Hey, do you want to pray the rosary?" And I started praying the rosary and she taught me how to pray it. And I was so into it and so excited. Now I'm back doing it, by the way. But at that time, the things started to happen to me in my dreams. I had very interesting premonitions in my dreams. And I would wake up, not only things about my family, but also things that would then end up coming true in my family, but also things that we started experiencing in life. Like I told my parents when I was 10 years old that I had a dream that the United States was going to have an American president that was going to be African-American. So my parents at the time were like, "Wait, what? What are you talking about? That probably won't happen in our lifetime, you know?" And then it ended up happening. So things like that. Anyway, going back, I want to acknowledge you for the incredible work that you've done with this book. Like I said, mom gave it to me probably like 5 months ago because she said, "I think some of the things that you've experienced in your dreams, some other people around the world have been experiencing, not in their dreams, but in their lives." And when I read it, I was in shock because of what it expresses and everything. And so this is a beautiful research that you've done. And I'm so grateful for you having done this work. And on behalf of a lot of people out there that I know for a fact that are going to love the book, and people who have read it already feel more awakened because of the book.
Praise God. You're welcome. God gets all the glory. Thank you.
Yes. And so I want to ask you, what got you to, you know, do this, to interview all these people who've been having a similar experience of awakening of the consciousness? We're going to talk about that a little bit more. But what made you do this research and put all these stories together?
Well, I think when we explain what it is to the listeners, if they don't know already, one will understand why. When I learned about what it was, I thought, why doesn't the world know about this? This is so important to know in advance. So important to live through well. And so I was confounded. I was confused. And I thought, you know, when you think there's a missing gap that needs to be filled, God needs somebody to do something. And I certainly didn't want it to be me. So I just saw the problem. And I thought, Lord, people need to know about this. And so then I realized, oh, I see. I'd already written some books. And so I thought, well, are you asking me to write a book? And if you are, Lord, first of all, I want to know if this is real. It has to be true. I don't want to deceive anyone. I want to make sure that this is you and that you actually mean what you say is going to happen. Number two, I would like to meet people who've already experienced what's called an illumination of their conscience. And we'll explain what that is. Who in a moment, they can believe in God or not believe in God, forcefully against their own will, see their lives in lieu of their own sin. And if you, if these people exist, show them to me, and then I'll know if you want me to write this book or not. So I kid you not, it's been many, many years. When did this come out? It took me years to write this book. So way back when, I said that prayer to God. I had that conversation with him. And I kid you not, within 2 months, just 8 weeks, I had ended up knowing 10 people who had an illumination of their conscience, and they let me know their stories and share them with the world on top of that. So that was a big, big sign for me, because it's been almost 10 years since, or more than that. And I struggle to find one. So it was an 8 week period of time. And yeah, even my spiritual director was a beautiful nun. I told her, I said, God's kind of putting this on my heart. And then she looked at me, sweetest nun in the world. Just, I love her. Such a saint. And she said, that happened to me. So things like that.
You know, and I feel like this also in a way happened to me too, because I'm telling you, mom gave me the book, and then I was like fascinated by it, worried about the world, praying more. It made me feel closer to God. And then this the most magical, beautiful thing happened. I started this podcast called Infinitos. And in one morning, when was this? Probably like less than a month ago. I woke up feeling in my heart, oh my God, I think I've been praying the rosary the wrong way. I felt like I had this information. Something happened in my dreams. And I woke up with this knowing of, oh, the way to pray is that every single word that we are saying should be a gift. Like a beautiful jewel, like a beautiful rose, like a beautiful flower that we're giving to the Lord and the Virgin. And, you know, like that, it should come from that place. And when you feel it from your heart, beautiful, miraculous things can happen. So I wake up that morning and I pray that way, that specific way. And then at the end of praying, I said, please, God, guide my steps. How can I use my voice to serve you? What can I do? Guide my steps. And I promise you, probably like an hour later, bing, my WhatsApp starts pinging and I look at it and it's one of the producers.
I got the chills. The movie. I got the chills. Yeah.
And she says, Marta, would you like to interview Christine Watkins? And I just went, oh my God. I called my mom immediately. Mom, you're not going to believe what just happened. Because I was, and Armando, who's my producer, who's here listening while we're recording this interview, he knows you've been a person on the list of the people that I've been wanting to interview. But like, how do we get a hold of you? It was like a whole thing. And then it just happened on its own. After that prayer. And so the same way I feel, I resonate with what you're saying, because I feel in a way there's no coincidence.
God's doing
this. Something bigger, which is God doing this. And so with that being said and feeling so grateful, I want to ask you, what is the warning?
So the warning has been explained to us through many mystics, Catholic mystics primarily. Saint Faustina Kowalska, the saint of divine mercy, is well known by people in the Catholic world. She is one of them. A pope. We have Elizabeth Kindleman, who is another mystic, the foundress of the movement of the Flame of Love of the Immaculate Heart of Mary in the worldwide church. We have so many, many people. And the interesting thing is, after writing the book, I learned about even more people. There's a man in Colombia who is Friar or Hermano Agustin del Divino Corazón. He started an order, Los Siervos Reparadores de los Sagrados Corazones.
That was really good Spanish.
I wrote it down. So he was given many, he's a locutionist. A locutionist means that they hear interiorly or exteriorly the voice of someone in heaven. And it's very clear. And he's written down volumes, I think 45 books now just come to him, something not humanly possible. But he got a lot of messages about the warning as well. So Sister Anna Ali, a daughter of the Good Shepherd, who her bishop is trying to see if she can be a canonized saint. He's pushing that forward. She wept tears of blood for the sins of the world once a week for 26 years. Got messages at the warning. So those two are after this book, that's what it looks like in English. So the thing is, God keeps verifying that he has spoken about this, even more so than what I put in here. What I did put in there is Father Stefano Gobbi, Luz de Maria de Bonilla. She's a stigmatist and beautiful holy woman. Her messages have what's called the imprimatur of the church, which means they've been studied by the church and found without error. And we have authentic apparitions in Heed, Germany. Not many people know about this, but it's an approved apparition in the 1940s of four children. And one of those visionaries received word about what the warning was and that it was going to happen and we needed to prepare. And then we have Garabandal, which is not approved by the church, nor is it discounted by the church. It's in a middle category. And a lot about the warning, and in Spanish called El Aviso, was revealed by our Blessed Mother. So Jesus and Mary as well, through visionaries, have told us about this. And what it is, it's a moment in time. And what's happening in these messages as they continue through certain mystics is to say that it will happen in our generation. And that's the alert. That's the wake up call. That's why he's doing this podcast. He wants to let his people know that there will be a moment in time when all light on earth is extinguished. So darkness will be darker than night. And then suddenly day will be brighter than day. Okay. And in this blinding light, a cross will appear in the sky wherever you are. Jesus will be on that cross in the sky. And through the holes where he was wounded, where he was crucified, bright rays will come from his wounds into every single soul on earth. And for a period of time, earthly time, lasting for him about 5 to 15 minutes, every person on earth will get a life review. They will go through their entire life, and this will not be something that they control. It will simply happen. And in this moment, they will see and feel every sin. And so the ones that people have confessed in the sacrament of confession, also called the sacrament of reconciliation, will not be experienced with very much pain. But those that we haven't confessed, it will be very shocking. It will be a wake-up call. And when we go through that, what people don't necessarily know when it comes to sin or when it comes to holiness and acts of love is that every sin, even in our mind, has a reverberation that goes out through time. So I wake up angry or upset and I snap at my son. My son goes to school. He hits another kid. That kid comes home, puts his father over the edge. The father has a drink. He beats his wife.
Oh my God.
So we don't think that way. We don't think communally. And in Hollywood, I'm sure you're aware of this, one picture on the screen, it could produce lust or it could produce repentance of heart. You know, we have so much power with our actions that we don't always think about the world. We think, well, I wanted to do it. It's what I thought, it was great. It was a good opportunity. We've lost our sense of God. We've lost our sense of how we're all so interconnected. So that will be revealed in the warning. Also, what will be revealed is that there is a God. So no one after this period of time can say with legitimacy, granted, we can all go back into denial and blindness. We all do that very well. But God will reveal who he is. And so when we're going through that, we'll know through knowledge and through feeling where we would end up were we to die at that very moment. Is it going to be heaven? Is it going to be purgatory? Is it going to be hell? So I wish that there were more people. I would love to be one of them. I can't claim to be. Who, if I were to die right now, death is like just walking into another room.
Okay.
But what's the room that we're going to walk into? If mm-hmm. I were to die right now, would I walk into paradise? That's my goal. But mm-hmm. am I perfected in all the virtues? Am I like the Virgin Mary? Oof. I mean, if I'm really honest with myself, am I like Jesus? Am I like the Virgin Mary? Well, I got a ways to go. So I'm going to see exactly the ways to go that I have. And those who would go to purgatory, they will feel mm-hmm. what it's like to be in that level of purgatory, in that state. Those who would go to hell Oof. Will feel what it's like to be in hell.
If during those 15 minutes.
During those 15 minutes. So it's a complete, it sounds horrific, but the horror is only what we would put on ourselves. It could be beautiful. I mean, imagine a Mother Teresa of Calcutta going through such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
She gets to see all the life. She gets to see how, you know, she gets to see the goodness.
Yeah.
That's what we want to work towards as human beings, because it's very similar. The warning is very, very similar to what's called our particular judgment, which every single person will go through when they die. Every single person gets a life review at death. And so this is the biggest act of mercy God has ever given the world since the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because imagine him saying to those of us on the wrong path, this is actually where you could end up. Is this what you want?
Is it's this a chance. It's like he's giving us a chance.
He's giving everyone a chance because he doesn't want to lose a single soul. It breaks his heart. People, for the listeners, know that there is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a purgatory. And every day, there's no separation between our souls and those places, those states. Today, right now, I am standing, my soul, yes, mm-hmm. it's on earth, but it's also in heaven, purgatory, or hell. That's why when we come across someone so holy, so selfless, so pure of heart, so beautiful, there's a glow about mm-hmm. them. There's yeah. love. There's something we recognize. And when we come across someone who's full of darkness, there's also something that mm-hmm. we feel and that we recognize. And so this is a chance. It's a correction of the conscience of the world gone astray. And in, like, for instance, the church approved messages at Heed, Germany, that I just mentioned, he says, you in the world right now are worse than before the flood.
Oh, that's, my goodness. This is before Noah's flood. Like, flood. So we are.
And he also says we're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah.
And you know what? I would agree with that. I would agree with that, because there's so much that the media can do, so much that could happen at home, so many things that we get sometimes depending on what we're watching. This I believe, our souls can be in danger for the things that we can watch.
Oh, absolutely.
And in today, I feel like the things, sometimes you see a commercial or a billboard and you see a woman basically naked, right? That can incite the feeling of lust in
yes,
somebody,
exactly.
right?
Yes.
And we take it mm-hmm. as is normal. You know, yeah. a lot of people, I mean, there's so many things that today feels to me, at least maybe I'm more conservative, but I am happy to be conservative in that way. I think, wait a second, this cannot be okay. Like, what are we showing to our children in the world? This is a billboard. Anybody, any kid can be walking by this, you know?
Or any kid can turn on the TV and see someone shot in the head. Like, the Lord doesn't
yes.
want that. The Lord doesn't want. I mean, we've entered into, all somebody has to do is look back to the 1950s.
Okay.
A mother and a father, a married couple, on TV, we're not allowed to be shown in the same bed.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Do you think
that.
We've come a long way with what we allow on the screen?
Yeah, that's so true.
I mean, we just took a dive.
Yes.
We took a really big dive. And, you know, there was this powerful message that I read from a visionary who her name is Giselle Accardia. And there's a website if you people are interested in more of what heaven is saying. In addition to the news of the warning, it's called www.countdowntothekingdom.com.
Okay.
And you can translate on the right upper hand of the screen, everything into Spanish or whatever language you read. But saying that basically we've entered into a time when people have completely lost sight of there being such a thing as sin. Sin has become completely normalized. It's what is seen on the screen is a lot of things that is actually mortal sin, which could take us. Mortal sin means it's serious matter done with full consent of the will and without any coercion. And the person basically knows what they're doing. They know it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
They do it anyway. They know it's pretty serious and they're in their right mind. You know, they're not being forced into it. They do it of their own volition, of their own free will.
Mm-hmm.
What just one of those actions can separate a person from God forever. Just one.
Ay, Dios mío.
So the message here before the warning, everyone, if you're Catholic, you've got to run to confession. Confession is your freedom ticket. Confession is your joy. The sacrament of confession unburdens you from anything that you've attached yourself to that could harm you. The Lord doesn't want you in unnecessary pain and agony and distress and removed from Him. He's the source of all joy, all light, all hope. He's the reason why we're alive. He's everything.
Yeah.
He created the universe. He created you, me, every single person watching this. He knows your every thought. He knows your every move. He knows everything about you.
Yeah.
And He's love.
Mm-hmm.
And He's love. Mm-hmm. And so He wants to lift you up into His arms in heaven when you die, where there is no more suffering and there are no more tears. And He wants us all to experience the warning with a twinge of that as well. Yes, it'll be hard. It'll be hard for me. I have a very sinful past. But I also know that I'm trying. Mm-hmm. I think when you know that you're trying and you're leaving behind things that you're like, yeah, that didn't feel quite right. You know, I was kind of unsettled in my spirit when I did, like everyone around me seemed to say it was okay. Like it was no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But can I read one of the messages from some of the people? Because one of the questions, I know you sent me questions to prepare, but one of them was, well, how do we prepare for this? And and the big thing is confession. Confession is like it's an easy exorcism. Literally, Jesus will be like, oh, is that bad spirit bothering you? Let me drag it back to hell. Oh, honey, is that also? I forgive you. I forgive you completely. You're completely forgiven. Don't worry about it. Can I take that away from you? That depression, that sadness, that compulsion, that thing that was bothering you. Let me take that away from you. That's free. Like why after the warning, there will be long lines for confession. People will be a little bit confused, not know what to do. Long lines, like Catholics will be mass baptisms. So many beautiful things are going to happen. So if you're Catholic and watching this, if you're Protestant Christian and watching this, know that it's going to be a beautiful time of the Christian churches finally coming together. Jesus said, I prayed that we be one. Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed that you be one. This is His chance to finally start bringing us together. It's going to be a glorious time. But I should say, speaking of the media, the media will come in to take the grace away.
I was going to ask about that because I was watching some videos about Father Michel Rodriguez,
Mm-hmm. And in one of them, he was mentioning, just to recap a little bit, this is going to be a moment in time that is expected to happen in our generation. That, like Christine was saying, we are going to be going on about our lives, right? Driving on an airplane.
Oh, I forgot to mention the freeze. Are you going to mention the freeze?
Can you please mention that freeze?
No, like, go ahead, please.
I want the audience to know or get more of an idea of how the event will look like and how it will happen. And so go ahead, please, because you know more than me.
I wanted
you
to do it.
No. Go ahead. Do it.
Thank you. I forgot that moment. So I mentioned that it'll be 5 to 15 minutes in earthly time. No one will see this because every person will be so in their own internal experience.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened in Fatima. I don't know if people know, there's a famous apparition in the early 1900s, 1914, I believe, in Fatima, Portugal. That's why we call Our Lady sometimes, the Mother of God, Mother of Jesus, Our Lady of Fatima, in which 70,000 people were present when the sun dislodged itself from the sky and came hurtling down on a rainy day toward people. People thought they were going to die, and they all started confessing their sins. And so not one of those people thought at that moment, hey, I wonder what Sally's doing.
Right. No, they were so into the moment of their own experience. That,
yes. Yeah. I mean, we'll be having an internal experience, every one of us. And then after that, by the way, when the sun went back into the firmament, everything was completely dry. Another part of the miracle. But
wow.
So God can do anything. He created time. He created matter. He created us. So if you're watching this and thinking, well, how can God do that? Well, how did he create you?
Life. Exactly.
I mean, how do you do that? Have we ever tried? I'd fail, you know. I can't even create an amoeba. So
let alone the cell. Spanish. Right?
Yeah. Cell. I'm not very good at that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although we'd be doing too many things with genetics right now. But so what he'll do is time will freeze, because you'll think, well, how can a pilot driving a plane experience the warning if it's all going to be at the same time everywhere on Earth? And as you mentioned, literally time will stop.
Okay.
In the sense of everyone will be frozen in time.
Yes.
We won't see that. It would be kind of cool to see. Mm-hmm. The plane will stop. The person on the bicycle will stop. The person in the middle of a track race will stop.
So, but this doesn't mean that if the airplane stops, it's going to fall.
Nope.
Or that if you're driving, you're going to crash.
Right.
So it'll be more like literally you're going to freeze and you're going to go with your consciousness to
that place. Granted, that's very interesting. I hadn't thought of this, but when you come back and you still have to be flying a plane, that's going to be tough.
Ooh, wow.
God's going to have to give the God, and you're still riding a bike, you might fall off. I mean,
yes.
God's going to give the grace to continue with whatever thing you were just doing. He'll give us the grace. He doesn't want anyone hurt. This is all to help. But as I was saying with the media afterwards, the media is going to come up with what they call a scientific explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of true scientists are being silenced right now. A lot of false science is being brought forward. And this is all going to be in that vein of, they'll say something like, we've discovered that there was a solar flare at that very same moment that everyone experienced this. And this caused an alteration in people's thoughts. And so that's why everyone had this experience. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So on our cell phones, on our screens, everywhere around us, we're going to be told a lie. And that's going to be a real serious problem, because if we've seen something difficult, the natural human inclination is to not believe it or deny it because it's too painful, rather than to run to confession, say sorry, and be healed of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to really be aware of that. And I guess I'm focusing on the words from Heed Germany this time more than ever. But it's very interesting what Let me see. This is Jesus himself saying this in the 1940s. My love has planned this action before the creation of the world. People do not listen to my calls. They close their ears. They resist grace and reject my mercy, my love, my merits. This is where I mentioned before. The world is worse than before the deluge. This is in the 1940s. Think of that. That's
wow, that we're worse than that. Yes. Yes.
It agonizes in a quagmire of sin. Hatred and greed have infiltrated human hearts. All this is the work of Satan. The world lies in dense darkness. This generation deserves to be wiped out, but I wish to show it my mercy. The cup of God's anger is already spilling over onto the nations. And when we say God's anger, he gets angry at sin. Like if a child is beaten or a woman is raped, he's angry. He wants to save the person doing the damage, but he's always angry at sin because it hurts us. You know, so if we think God's so angry and mean, it's not that.
No.
The cup
I'm so
of God.
Glad, I'm sorry you said that. I'm so glad you said that because I had a conversation recently about somebody said, you know, like if God, speaking about the Old Testament, and it was about the moment where Moses wanted to take everyone out of Egypt, and the angel, I don't know if I'm translating this correctly or not, but like there's an angel of de la muerte or like of darkness or something that was going to take the firstborn child
in Egypt, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and somebody was saying to me, it's just that the God in the Bible, in the Old Testament, has so much anger and so much rage and so much, and so how could he dare to kill all these little kids? And I was like, wait a second, hold on one second. First of all, he's not killing. These are lives, all of our lives belong to him. Mm-hmm. So, and this is, by the way, this is just me speaking, you know, in that way, but mm-hmm. I'm like, because going along those terms, you would say, you know, when you die, when I die, oh, God's killing me. No, that's not true. We're like going back to him. So these souls were the souls of the innocents that were like what I'm trying to say with this is going back to your thought. God is not angry at it, at us. He's angry at sin, angry at, you know, all these horrible spirits and energies that take us away from goodness.
He's very angry.
Yeah.
We'd want him to be angry.
Exactly. Because I'm a mom. Let's say I'm not a mom, but let's say I'm a mom and my kid is going on, you know, a weird path. I'm going to sometimes going to go, come over here. It's over here. It's over this way. Right. So
yeah.
And because I love my kid. So.
And we're going to see, I'm glad you said that too, because we're going to see a lot of things that if we don't understand how loving God is, if we don't understand that there is a terrible place that souls can go that God is trying to rescue us from, then things aren't going to make any sense. It's mm-hmm. better to die than to commit a mortal sin. Mm-hmm. Like we think it's better to live at all costs, even if we're not living, even if we're not alive. Yeah. Life is here and it's there. Life is with God. That's life. Right. It's not whether we're breathing or not. Life is the soul. Mm-hmm. So people, I pray that everyone wakes up to the fact that we're living for God and we're living for our souls. That this is something. I mean, I've got flesh, but this is a temporary home.
It's a vessel. Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. And so speaking of God's mercy, the message goes on to say, the angel of peace will not delay in coming down to earth. I want to heal and to save. Mm-hmm. Through the wounds that bleed now, mercy will win and justice triumph. So God's going to win. God's going to win. And it might look really crazy. It might look like oh my gosh, this terrible thing happened in this certain area of the world or whatnot. And we're horrified. But we have to remember that even in horrible things, God is in control. Because as you said, is God killing or is God rescuing people?
Rescuing. That's what I was trying to say. No, it's rescuing.
Rescuing.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And the wars and the, like, those things, we're doing it ourselves.
God hates war.
Because also God is so given, he gave us free will. And what do we do with that free will? Then is the question. Do we do good? Do we not? And that's, you know, the predicament of life. But it's, to me, the warning sounds like a beautiful, merciful. It doesn't sound, it is a beautiful, merciful.
It's a beautiful, beautiful mercy that we all need.
Because imagine if you have done things, and by the way, we should all live our lives in a good, from a good place, thinking this way. But imagine you just die. You didn't get the chance to get the warning to then have an illumination of consciousness, to go through your life, being able to see your doings, your good doings and your wrongdoings. You don't do that. And then all of a sudden you transition and there you are in hell or in purgatory or in, like, what? And you didn't get a chance. So what he is giving us with this warning, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's that chance.
Absolutely. It's such a kind gesture, such a merciful, merciful gesture. And so in English, the book is The Warning. It's on Amazon.com. And in Mexico, in El Aviso, you can go to Escalera al Cielo. Mm-hmm. And I can give you, Armando, I can give you that. It's a friend of mine is the publisher in Mexico. You can also go online for El Aviso. But the stories, so the first part of the book is all about the warning. Why is it happening? What is it exactly? Who has said it's going to happen? And how do we have any knowledge of it at all? And then all these stories, and the stories are fantastic. I mean, every person learns a bit about themselves by reading about someone else who had their soul revealed to them, right? Things we don't even think of. I mean, there's sins I've done that I thought, was that a sin? Really? Oh. So we can read about ourselves through their stories. And then we find out that every single person in the book was happier afterwards. They were better. They loved life more. They were more free. It was such a good thing, because we can struggle with a burden or an addiction or a this or a that for so long and think, when am I going to be a better person? Like, please. Mm-hmm. And we still have to strive. I mean, that's our day to, we have to be climbing the ladder of holiness every day and trying. Otherwise, it's an escalator that keeps going back down.
Ooh.
There's no day where you can say, I'm going to coast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A day without prayer. If you spend one day without prayer, your day will go differently. Just one day. Check it out. Yeah. I mean, look what happened when you prayed one rosary from the heart.
Yeah.
Things change.
Yeah, it's true.
New horizons open up. New peace enters the heart. New directions in life. I mean, gosh, in Hollywood, they're doing that now. I know there's Christian Hollywood organizations that are trying to make films that save souls. I mean, what a noble thing. I mean, when people get that turnaround, they start to do beautiful, beautiful things for the Lord. And so, you know, there's confession. There's also consecrations. I wrote one, the El Manto de María, the Mary's Mantle consecration. Uh-huh. And that is one way that you can consecrate yourself to the Mother of God, because she is the, when we consecrate ourselves to her, she's the straightest path to Jesus. She's the safest route.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we start to go over here, she'll say, no, 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 no. Any person that consecrates themselves to her has her mantle over them as a cover of love and protection and grace and constant prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's so great. Mm-hmm. Our mom in heaven is so helpful. So, Yeah, the other one is just saying, Lord, open my eyes. And there's the blind Bartimaeus in scripture who says, Lord, I'm the blind man reaching out to Jesus. He walks by and he calls out, you know, help me to see. I want to see. Mm-hmm. So, oh, I should share this because it happened just last night. It was so cool. Talk about timing. So my son wants to be a priest. He's going to study. He's 17. Wow. And he's holy. I think he's holy. He was pretty sure he was holy. He was smoking marijuana. He was looking at things on the internet. He shouldn't, movies he shouldn't watch. And he went into darkness. And then he had a big conversion experience. Oh, I forgot. This is interesting. Because he started to read this, the Holy Spirit overtook him.
Wow.
When he opened the book, this wasn't me.
Wow.
The Holy Spirit came over him and he started dancing with joy. He was suddenly, I mean, he doesn't dance. He was a surly kid. I don't like you, mom. I'm your dad. You're stupid. You know, 17. My kid comes into my office in my home dancing.
Wow.
It was an amazing moment. I just watched him. I thought, what the heck just happened? He's like, I got the Holy Spirit. You know, he felt so free. So that was the beginning. And then last night, it was so amazing. He had been suffering physically, didn't have any energy. I'm probably revealing too much, but he was having these gargantuan burps. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Or something. And he was just struggling with life. Every day was hard. Every day was tired. And then we had a priest. We went in front of the Blessed Sacrament, by the way, besides the rosary, besides confession, besides prayer from the heart every day, if you can go to a church where the Blessed Sacrament is exposed, it's in the monstrance, the circular site, you're in the presence of love itself. Just sit there in the mystical presence of Jesus and let his love overflow you and beautiful things will happen to you. It's called Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And even if they don't expose Jesus in the form of the host, which is the bread of life, even if he's just in the tabernacle, which is usually gold or sometimes wood, where the real presence of his Christ is enclosed in the form of the host, even if he's enclosed there, he's still present. Just go sit. I mean, people, I didn't mean to say it that way, but please go to Mass, go to confession. Of course, Mass. I mean, Mass is a given. Mass is the greatest prayer, the greatest healing, the greatest gift that God's ever given us, because in the Catholic Church, when you receive the Eucharist, which is the body and the blood of Christ in the form of bread and wine, and there have been what's called Eucharistic miracles all around the world where the bread actually turns into real flesh. Atheistic scientists have studied this. They see and they believe, because there's no way that could happen.
Yeah.
Heart tissue from, you know, Israel in the year 33. What's that? It's really him. So when you go there and you receive, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things happen. So if you haven't been to Mass for a while, go to confession in return, because you're missing out on receiving God himself.
I have a question. What happens if we can talk a little bit about Garabandal? I've been reading about it, and I know there's the warning, and then there's could be el castigo, which would be a punishment. What would be the danger if we don't come as humanity, if we don't align ourselves with goodness? The warning comes, people experience this awakening of consciousness, and like you said, then all of a sudden, the scientists of the world, the media of the world say, guess what? This happened because the 5G towers are emitting something. You know, I heard there could be a lot of explanations, quote unquote explanations, that they're going to come up with in a way for them to say, this was not God doing this. This was a technology, a solar flare that created this, that then therefore we all saw this in our heads. But go back to life and it's okay. I also heard that after that, what could happen too, because sometimes the people who are ruling our world, corporation owners, media owners, they don't want this to happen. They don't want us to wake up. They don't want us to be better people. Because otherwise we would realize, wait a second, we do have a lot of food. We could feed everyone, right? We do have, there's so much that we would wake up to. So I heard that there's also a possibility that there could be a shutdown afterwards, technologically, or something that could happen. So if I experience the warning, we all experience the warning, I'm going to want to feel like, I want to see my mom and say I'm sorry to her for these things. I want to talk to this other friend that I haven't talked to in a long time. And all of a sudden, or I want to speak about it. I want to say, did you guys see it? Did you see God? Did you see this? Did you see that? And it could be a chance that there could be a shutdown in technology so we don't get a hold of a priest, so we cannot communicate with each other. How much of that you think could be a possibility?
Well, yes, I believe there could be kind of a cyber attack from who knows who. There could be a collapse, temporary or permanent, of technology at some point. But the visionaries seem to be saying that this message of it being nothing supernatural, just a physical solar flare or whatnot, a scientific explanation for the warning, that would tell me that technology would be up and running at that point, mm-hmm, after the warning. Hence, there'll be forces using technology for that. And then there'll be people like you saying, Mama, get to confession.
Right.
You know, yeah. So that tells me, and that mystics have said there'll be this 40-day period of grace after 40 the warning.
Days. Okay.
Or 6.5 weeks. Okay. At least that much, maybe more. I don't know when that might happen. It's hard to say. But no doubt God's not going to allow something to happen that would undercut his whole warning.
Right.
He's absolutely definitely going to make sure that those who are open to it, who and people might not survive it. The mystics also say that some people will die of fright. So that's all the more important reason to know about it and to amend one's lives in the way they need to amend them beforehand.
You mean they're going to see their sins and they're going to be so
horrible, emotionally shocked. I mean, can you imagine having done mortal sin, which is, as I described before, a break from God? So you're already in darkness. Like it's an unfortunate reality that many people today are in hell. They feel it in terms of depression or anger or just hating life or internal rage or a raging addiction or
constant anxiety.
Yeah. Right?
You know, not
and I'm not saying that everyone with depression, anxiety is in hell. No, people can be on their way to heaven and have really difficult feelings. It's not that. It has to do with sin. Mm-hmm. So if a person has committed so many sins for so long, you know, let's say you have been a big drug dealer for so long, you know, or whatever it is, or you've been in the media and you've made movies that have caused people to lust and, you know, domestic violence. Who knows? I mean, what you put out there, and you have to experience every single thing you did and every single thing that caused and that caused and that caused and that caused in the span of 5 or 10 minutes or 15 minutes.
Oh, it's a lot.
That's a lot. That's one of the reasons why, friends, if you return to the church, if you haven't been in a while, if you say, Father, I think I have something to confess. And even if you can't, some churches may close down again, people. They could very well, all the churches could be shut down. It happened before. Mm-hmm. It could happen again. Don't delay. One of the evil's tactics is to say, you can do that, but later. Just do it later. Mm-hmm. No, do it now.
Do it now.
Because you're going, if you feel from watching this that you need to go to confession, that you want to live gracefully through the warning and then be full of light and lead other, you want to be a person of the light, mm-hmm, then you're going to have, I just want to let you know, you're going to have a big fight getting to confession. It's not going to be easy. And you can't just expect it to happen. Mm-hmm. There's going to be what's called spiritual warfare. There's going to be angels and your guardian angel and Jesus, Mary, and all the angels and saints at your assistance. And there's going to be forces from hell saying, heck no.
Oh, so it's actually a spiritual battle that we're living today.
Yeah.
But we're kind of not really aware of it. But it's very strong. It's very strong and it's happening.
Oh, yeah. So I just want those of you who've made a decision watching this now to go to confession, fight.
Yeah.
I just talked with a friend of mine. She told me that when she was coming back to the church, everyone else was able to go to confession but her. She tried for 12 weeks, like over and over again. She'd show up and the priest would do a wedding over and over again. He just wouldn't be there. I mean, it never happened, but she was so determined that she got there. And when she did, it was a huge release. She was so joyful afterwards. She was no longer depressed, no longer anxious. So much grace. And that goes to, I actually... To finish what I was going to say about my son, my 17-year-old, he read the warning, boom, big change. And then last night, after he'd been in front of the Blessed Sacrament, which is the real presence of Jesus, which I was trying to explain, he went there. And then he had the blind man Bartimaeus, the prayer that we all want to say is, what am I doing that I don't even know is a sin? Please show me. Open my eyes. I don't even know, because I thought he was so good, and he is. And he thought he was so good, and he is. But last night, God opened his eyes, and he said, oh my gosh, I am suffering from the biggest, biggest sin of pride. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, I am so prideful. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I always want to be the best. If I'm going to do guitar, I want to be the best. If I want to do homework, it's got to be an A. If I'm going to do this, it has to be perfect. And it was, and this desire to be the best, it was disguised as something holy. I'm doing it for you, God, right? I'm going to be the best for you. Mm. He loves God, and his conversion was real. And he still wants to be a priest to help people. And he's great with people and children and everything. But he was also serving this false God at the same time. And we talked about this huge false God that was sucking the life energy out of him and making him so miserable. And he said, I said, who are you trying to please? Who? Because is it people? Is it like, what's the standard? Is it you? He said, I wanted to be like John Paul II. I said, great. I said, but why? And he said, so I could be somebody, so I could be great. I said, oh, who's that pleasing? He said, myself and people. Myself. I said, that's not have anything to do with God. And he said, exactly, Mom, that had nothing to do with God.
Wow, your son sounds amazing and so awakened at 17 years old.
He's unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah. And in how many ways we can, all of us who are either listening or watching the video on YouTube, in which ways are we serving other gods? The God of money, the God of recognition, the God, and by the way, including myself, like this conversation that we're having,
I'm like,
me too.
It's beautiful. And at the same time, I think, oh my God, I have to go to confession too. Because, by the way, we never know whether the warning is coming in a year or in 5 years.
Yeah.
I could be driving my car, God forbid, something happens, then I'm gone.
Yeah.
So it's a call for action to everyone to come into alignment. And my next question is, so you said the warning is going to happen. It'll take between 10 to 15 minutes. Then we're going to have more or less 40 days of grace. And if we don't come together, what happens?
Well, so many mystics of the church, saints, these are not random people saying random things. These are documented prophecies. Also in scripture, we have the book of Revelation. We have the times when people, as it says in many parts of the Bible, will turn away from God, will turn to false gods, will not understand right from wrong, basically. And I think we can say we're at that point. Mm-hmm. So if we've reached a point, and you talked about Garland dolls. So in the 1960s, Our Lady allegedly appeared to four young girls. And there were many phenomena associated with this in which Mary was trying to have the villagers, and they did believe, most everyone, and I think every single person in the village believed practically, because these girls would be able to do things like look up at Mary, and people would hand them something she could bless, like a medal or a rosary or a scapular, and they would put their hand back and give it to the right person. Wow. Or they'd walk backwards and think, you know, while looking up and not touch a bush, and so many manifestations of heaven meeting with earth happened there. And she did mention that there would be chastisements if people didn't change their ways. And what that means is God saying, okay, I mean, God, this makes God so sad. I mean, so mortally sad, like he was in the, I'm going to cry, like he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, just so sad, sweating tears of blood over us. Because if a soul doesn't stop what they're doing, and he can't make them stop through mercy, through his love, through his cross, through his, you know, dying on the cross, if none of it means anything to that person or that group of people, he's exhausted every possible means. He has to do big things or allow them, like a war. He doesn't want war. He doesn't want, you know, floods and this and that. But if we still won't listen and we're still insistent on going to hell, like if you had, as you say, if you were a mom and your daughter was saying, Mom, I'm going to go to hell. I've chosen it. There's nothing you can do. I see it as the right thing. And you're going, danger, danger. And that little girl comes and she's about to put her hand in the light socket. You know, it would kill her and she'd go to hell. What would you do? Would you say, I'll go, well, made your choice.
Or no, would you snap the hand?
Or would you still try to do something?
Yes.
So you might take her and you might grab her and it might feel kind of violent to her. She might think, why did you do that so violently? Why did you touch me? You broke my neck. And God's like, I'm left me with no choice. Or you take a hammer and you start bashing the wall with the plug in it. You literally ruin the whole wall. Because that's how you could get the plug away from her so she couldn't touch it. So if he has to ruin the whole pornography industry, he will. If a building has to collapse, it'll collapse.
Yeah.
So that's what a chastisement is like. Or a future disease, man-made, granted, we do this to ourselves. Mm-hmm. But people are dying. For whatever reason, they're about to meet their maker, but they weren't going to repent. They weren't going to review their lives. They weren't going to give it any credence until they were in a state of, uh-oh, I'm now really faced with my mortality. Oh. I can't just go on swimming down this stream. I have wake up. I mean, everything's a wake up now. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. So God never wants to chastise, just like a good parent never enjoys it. I cannot stand putting my kids in timeout. I don't enjoy it. Yeah. I'd rather them do the right thing and we have a nice evening. I don't like continuously putting them back in their room. You know, no loving parent who, you know, only a sadist gets a kick out of punishment. So please, people, don't put it on God.
No, I agree with you. And also, I want to say that we are given a chance every day to be good people.
if we take it by day, then it starts to become easier. If we take it every, just day by day.
Moment to moment.
We don't know. Like if you're driving and you insult a person next to you, you don't know. You will create this rippling effect.
Yeah.
From that to a lie, to stealing a little bit, you may not know. This person's not going to miss this little something. All of these things have rippling effects. And that is what your book talks about. And it calls to all of us to have our own moment of going through our lives and saying, what have we done? What are we responsible of? And make yourself accountable. And going to confession. And I have a question in regards to that, because not everybody who is listening, not all of them are Catholic.
Yeah.
And this is an event that we are all going to experience, no matter if you're a Muslim, no matter if you're Jewish or agnostic. What would be your message to all of the other people from all these different faiths as well? How can they also prepare?
I mean, as a Catholic, and with, I'm not going to lie, if you're interested, go to a church and see what program they have to become Catholic. It's called Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults. It might be called something else in Spanish, but in English, it's RCIA. But if not, if that's not where you feel called, if you at all believe that there's a God, seek out truth. Seek out, there is a right and a wrong, and that's being erased. Recognize that that's literally being erased as knowledge in our society. That recognize that some things, like sleeping together before marriage, are presented as maybe a way to get to know one another, to bond better in order to really know if you want to marry the person. Like, it's being presented that way when actually it steals your soul. I mean, it's very, very serious. So we have to understand there's certain things that the church teaches. I mean, all of them, if there's such thing as the catechism of the Catholic Church. And even someone in the church can't change that, because Jesus, who is God come to earth, founded the Catholic Church, and all of the teachings in it have been in the Bible, in the magisterial teachings of the church, and in the catechism of the Catholic Church. It's a book. If you want to know truth, if you're not sure if it's okay to do controversial things like artificial birth control, you can do natural birth control. That's not a sin. The other is. Why? That doesn't make any sense. There are very good reasons why. It also hurts the woman. It can give you cancer and all that, but that's physical. But there are soul reasons, and people are just doing these things because their doctor prescribes it, or because it's on the TV, or because it's what their friend did. And, you know, marijuana is legal in California where I live, so it must be okay, right? It must be okay.
Not because it's legal, it means it's okay.
Legal, common, everybody does it, therefore it's okay. Those are satanic lies, people. That's why we're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah right now, because we don't even know. So I feel like my cat's trying to escape and making lots of noise. Can you hear him?
It's okay. No,
I don't blame him. With all I'm saying, I'd be scared too. The cat's saying, get me out of here. Realize, like the blind beggar in the Gospels, even if you're not Catholic, you're not Christian, you're not Protestant Christian, you're not Jewish, you're not Muslim, you're agnostic, you're not even sure, you're into the New Age, which is dangerous, by the way. That's a whole other show we could do. But you care about not hurting yourself, and you care about not hurting other people. You really care. Mm-hmm. You really care. I cared before my conversion. But I was still doing everything wrong, because I was caring the way society told me to care. So I just would say, have a stab at prayer. What can it hurt you? If there is a God, if there's something to his teachings that have been passed down through the apostles, if there's something, even the church, we're in dark times, people in the church might try to change teachings. That doesn't mean the truth changed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean the truth changed. The truth is going to be shown in the warning. It is what it is. We can't change it with modern advances. We can't change it with modern ideas. And so be open. Be open. This is funny. You may become one of those people that you used to judge and think were too judgmental, conservative, blind, mean. Because a lot of times when a person of faith, and we can do it the wrong way, we can be judgmental and we can say it the wrong way. If we say it without love, it's our fault and it's on us. But we can come across as saying the right thing in the wrong way and it's not heard. Mm-hmm. But just be open to stepping into a world that you may not have entered, where people really aren't that bad. Mm-hmm. And the truth really will set you free.
I love that. I love that. And something that I feel everybody, doesn't matter the faith that you were raised in or that you follow, that you're going to know inside of you. We all know. And we can differentiate what's right from wrong. We feel it. Even in our bodies, we feel it. I know for a fact that if I'm just about to tell a lie, I have something that stops me. I know, like, we know. So follow that. And me, obviously, as a Catholic, speaking to other Catholics too, as well, and even people who are not Catholics, but maybe after watching this interview, they say, you know, I'm curious. I want to know more about that. I want to know more about the Virgin Mary. There's so many miracles, so many beautiful things that she has manifested. And why not? If it's going to make your life better, why not? In the best possible way. You know, like, why not? If it's, I know for a fact for me, every time I go to confession, I walk out of that room feeling so much lighter, so relieved, so much love. It literally feels like my heart opens, yes. Right? And yes. Then, and I talk to other friends who are not Catholic. I say to them all the time, it's such a beautiful feeling. It's a wonderful experience.
It's a spiritual bath. We all have stuff caked on us that makes us feel bad, and we don't know what it is. Yeah. And we can't. Okay. My son was with my other younger son. This was years ago, and they were in line for confession. And the same son, Christian, who's now 17, he was saying to me before this, and he was about 12 at the time, and my other son was a few years younger, Johnny. So Christian was saying to me, I hate Johnny. He's so annoying. I can't stand my brother if he does that when we're here. And I said, okay, well, talk to you after confession. So they both go to confession. And then he sat down and he goes, I love my brother.
Yes.
He's so cute.
Yes.
I love my brother. Yeah. So I could have said, Christian, love your brother. And could he have changed his heart? Could he have said, now I love him? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or did he need God's grace?
Yeah.
And so the confession gives us what we can't do ourselves.
Yes. Can you imagine we're carrying everything on our shoulders? No. We can give all of that.
He wants, it's garbage. It's the backpack of garbage that Jesus wants us to give to him. But we want to keep it?
No,
why? It's heavy and it stinks.
Yeah. I would love to do, if you have the time, of course, another episode on all these other subjects that you were talking about. You know, there's so much more that we can discuss about what's being out there in the media, how to prevent, how to help your children even, there's so much, because I think we are going through very, very important times.
Yeah.
Very important times. And there's a spiritual war happening. And some people are very aware of it, which I'm really excited about, but some people are not.
Yeah.
And it's every day. And if we can be of service by spreading this message. I want to be part of that and help in any way.
Absolutely. Just let me know. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much. In the book, we're going to put a link, Armando. Let's put a link so then people can buy it. There's an edition in Spanish and also another one in English.
So if somebody's watching from Mexico, I could give you, Armando, that website that I mentioned. There's queenofpeacemedia.com. That's mine. Editorial Escalera al Cielo. That's the other one. Editorial dash, and then one word, escaleraalcielo.com. Mm-hmm.
Christine, I feel like I need more time with you.
Well, we're going to bore people, but we could chat forever.
Yes, yes. And also, this is, I'm going to show the book again. Guys, get this book. It's very life-changing. It is life-changing. You know, you shared a story with your kid. I have a story myself in which I felt like I started having, again, like when I was little, you know, I started feeling more drawn to prayer, more drawn to going to church, more drawn to going to confession. And by doing that in a beautiful way, things started aligning in my life. Not only, you know, the way we're discussing, but like things that I'm like, oh my God, this is a gift from God, because God tells you, oh, you're on the right path. I'll give you more. Mm-hmm. Right? And yes. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for doing this. Thank you thank you for caring so much about souls.
Thank you. And I know there's going to be a movie about the book. So that's also very exciting. When is that shooting?
So it's going to come out this year. The directors don't know exactly when. If you go to thewarningmovie.com, you can find out about that. To support the effort would be really important right now so that they can finish it, because you can imagine how important that is. It's going to be in several different languages. So thewarningmovie.com is where you can go for that. And the directors, we're going to do a show, right, with the directors, Juan Carlos.
Yes, we're going to do a show with the director. Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, stay tuned for that. And the company doing the film is Bella Dream Films, BellaDream Films, Bella Dream Films, thewarningmovie.com.
Yes. And also I want to thank so much the producers of Bella Dream Films, Marta Lilia Lopez y Juan Carlos Salas Monaguillo, for this beautiful conversation with Christine Watkins. And Juan Carlos is the one that actually texted me after I did that prayer. He texted me, hey, are you interested in an interview? I was like, oh my God, of course I am. This is wonderful. Thank you so much, Christine. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody at home. If you feel you resonate with this video, which I know you do, share it. I think that's one of the first steps that we can do, is sharing with another person. It's our way to help.
Yes.
Humanity. Yes. In the moments share that you are living. Yes.
Seriously. It's not about anyone thinking you're crazy. It's about what God thinks. It's only about what God thinks.
Because the truth is, like, who cares? Who cares?
Poor son. It was about them. Who's they?
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Nos vemos. Ciao.